Welcome to Hair Blazers, the podcast where seasoned salon owners and industry specialists share their knowledge. Our mission is to elevate salons and empower owners through conversation about what matters most to you. Today, we have a really exciting conversation with a couple of guests. We're going to be talking all about best practices for building a creative team in your salon. Today, we're so happy to be joined by Justin Householder Sr. and Michael Trey Martinez of Unortho Creatives. Welcome to the show.
Yay. Yay. Thank you for having us.
Excited to be
here. Thank you so much for being here. A little bit of a background on Unortho, really all about pushing boundaries, getting creative, and thinking differently, as the name would say. So I'd love to hear a little bit more about both of you just to get started. Justin, why don't we start with you? What was your path into the beauty industry like?
Oh, man, that is a little bit of like a interesting, bumpy road. I was in a different career field at the time. And I just knew I wanted to do something completely different. I didn't have no clue what that was. And I left it on a whim. I was doing interviews at just like corporate jobs. And I just knew that none of this would interest me long term. I was like, I can't be doing this. I want to be doing something like with my hands. And I want to be doing something creative and fun for the rest of my life. So I looked at different avenues. I looked at like tattooing. I looked at like just different artistries. And I have a lot of tattoos, but it doesn't mean I can tattoo, you know? And I was talking to a friend who's a barber, and he was like, well, you know, you used to cut our hair when we were overseas. You weren't very good at it, but, you know, it's a skill that you can learn over time. And so I called the local barber academy, and then I was like, hey, I have no clue what this process looks like. How do I get in? And they're like, well, we're doing orientation if you want to come do a walkthrough. And I went to the school and I wasn't necessarily impressed, but I was like, well, I'm not really doing anything else with my life. So let's just try it out. Tried it out. Hated it at first. Was not very good at it. Knew absolutely nothing about the hair industry. Graduated, started working in a salon. And I thought, I'm going to continue to go to school while I'm here so I can, you know, make some money and figure out a new career path. And then just over time, I really started to like it. And I really then started to love it. And it's funny because I was always like, I didn't have my hand tattooed at the time. And I was like, well, I'm not going to get hand tattoos because I'm going to be leaving this industry. And I remember at one point, I was like, I think I'm going to stay here. I think I'm going to go like make this a career and like really just dive in head first with it. And that's when I was like, I'm getting a hand tattoo. I'm sold. I'm staying here.
Absolutely. Because if there's any industry that like doesn't really care if you have tattoos, it's for sure this one.
Yes.
I love that. I love that your hand tattoos are, you're like, this is my commitment to this career.
Yes, 100%.
That's so fun. I love that. And I think that there's so many people who start out in this industry and they're like, wow, this is actually a lot harder and more technical than I thought it would be. Or like they expect to be immediately good at it, which is just not realistic when you're doing anything. So I love that you persevered and you stuck with it. And, you know, it kind of like blossomed into this beautiful thing. So
thank you.
That's awesome.
It was worth it.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I remember when we were in school and they were like just going over basic things. They're like, this is a comb, but we all know that. And I was like, actually, I don't really know any of this. It was funny.
What about yourself, Michael? How did you kind of get into the industry? You're still also like quite young, I believe. I saw one of your birthday posts on Instagram.
Yeah, I am 28
years
old.
He's a baby.
I've been in the industry for 10 years now. So I went into cosmetology school right out of high school, right out of the gate. I have three younger sisters. I'm the only boy. I have a mom that cannot do hair. So I kind of got stuck doing my siblings' hair, which I ended up loving. And it definitely transitioned me to this industry. I just really love making people feel great on the inside and out. It was just funny. My sister was like, can you do this braid for me? And I did it and it looked okay. And she just seemed so excited about it. Like she never had braids in her hair. And it just gave me kind of this feeling. And I was like, I could do this regularly. So it got me into the Aveda Network 10 years ago. I've been in it ever since. And I don't know, you just, I feel like when you're in the hair industry, you feel this connection to it and you realize there's so many different avenues that you're able to do and to be creative. And it's kind of hard, like Justin said, you don't want to leave because you're like, oh, I could do this next thing or I could do this next thing. I'm just very happy to be here. And we're so excited to be on the Hair Blazers podcast. I have to add that one more time. We are so excited.
Well, we're so happy to have you. Thank you. Thank you. We really appreciate having both of you here. So, you know, that's kind of both your paths into the industry. Michael, I was kind of wondering about that because I was like, you are so young and, you know, you've done so much. So I was like, did you start this career when you're young? And I think that's one of the really cool things about this industry is for the amount of time you actually need to be in school, the opportunity and the possibility and, you know, the money you can make in this industry is really incredible. So that's awesome.
It is. And sometimes the hairstylists get a little bit, maybe when you're going into the industry, I talked to my high school counselor about it and he didn't give me necessarily positive feedback. He kind of let me know he didn't feel I was going to make a lot of money, that I wasn't going to be able to stay substantial or sustainable in this career. So honestly, going into it, I was really scared because I didn't really have someone of authority in that manner that made me feel good about it. And so when I went to my school, I was like, no, this is definitely where I need to go and stay. And it's scary when you're young. It doesn't even matter what age you are. It's so scary to start a new career and something new. But I think we feel that, you know, that connection when we get into it. And it's so important.
The benefit you get from being in this industry of making people feel amazing, you know, having that connection with the guests in your chair, and then also, you know, the money that you can make, it is really incredible. And I think one of the things that, you know, is one of my biggest pet peeves is the fact that there's still so many misconceptions about the industry. One thing I love to share, and we actually did a whole episode on this, is a company called Qnity in the beauty industry. They do a lot of really cool things, but last year they actually put out the pro beauty compensation study, and it was all data from like that was collected in 2022, was like summarized, put out in 2023, and it was all based on like tax data, and it was all about how much money hairstylists are actually earning in the industry. And the average was like $38 an hour was people were earning, and people have flexibility, and like 96% of salons were offering benefits, and like all of these things that are kind of misconceptions about the industry. If you actually look at the data, and if you look at the data from the industry, you see a very different story. You have unlimited earning potential. You get to, you know, really make an impact on people's lives. I think that there's so many incredible things that you can do in this industry. And it's unfortunately not an uncommon story that you had somebody tell you, oh, you know, maybe you don't want to do this. Maybe this isn't for you. Maybe you won't make very much money. Maybe this isn't a good idea.
I feel like every hairstylist has had that conversation for sure with somebody in their life. When I was making my big career jump, I had several people who were like, you're restarting a career and you're going into hair? And you're like, yeah, it's like something new. Why not? And they're like, that's a bad idea. You're like, thanks.
I'm going to do it.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to try it. You're like pushing me even further, if we're being honest.
And I love programs like you mentioned, Qnity. I'm actually a Qnity ambassador. I actually do like a lot of marketing.
I didn't know that. I love that.
A lot of stuff with this. I love Aaron and everyone at Qnity.
I'm like, have you heard about Qnity? And you're like, actually, yes.
I'm like, yes. Michael talks like about them all the time, honestly.
But they're so sweet. But I am so thankful for programs like that because there was nothing like that in cosmetology school, barbering school 10 years ago, maybe I'm sure Justin, like, you know, 8 years ago, 6 years ago with all of us. And it's just so vital. It helps us be able to feel more safe and more secure in what we're doing, but then create like bigger steps to owning a business and being a salon owner and having a team and understanding those things to prepare yourself, because they teach you everything like taxes and money handling and all these great things that really, yeah, 18-year-old me, even 28-year-old me, really loves this information.
Yeah, it's so helpful and it's so beneficial. So just to bring us back to an ortho, so you not only have, you know, made a great career as a hairstylist, you also started an ortho. So tell me a little bit more about that. What was that process like?
You know, it was a fun process. Justin and I worked together, something that was off of an ortho. We worked at a salon, center salons with each other. And we were doing a lot of creative things. He was a creative director. I was a digital brand director. So we had really good partnership in our roles. And we just really wanted to be able to create more and do some more things. We realized we worked with each other really well. We loved each other's philosophies. And like you said, creating something unorthodox, if you will, something new and outside of the box. So we just kind of, I don't want to say on a whim, but we're just like, we're going to do this like right now and just try to create something out of it with, in some ways, not a plan. I feel like we just knew what we wanted and our mission, but what we were going to create or all the avenues we'd be able to go down, we, I don't think we forecasted for it to happen.
No, I would agree, Michael. I feel like it kind of just like fell into our laps. Like I remember the conversations around it. We were like, maybe we should start like building our brand for ourselves. And maybe we should start marketing it like that. And maybe we could like create something that can inspire other people to do something differently. And I think we played around with like different ideas or methodologies. And I feel like we kept on going to like different, being different, thinking different. And then I feel like that's how we really got to Unortho, because unorthodox. And we were just like, oh, that's pretty cool. That's a cool name. And, you know, Michael and I, we want to think differently. We want to be unorthodox. We want to create something around that. And I feel like it just stuck.
Yeah, I love that name. It's very evocative. So, you know, being in the space of wanting to think outside the box, wanting to do something that's like new and different and fresh, where do you get your inspiration?
I feel through other people and just experiences around us, we've been able to turn this like mission and ideology into education and editorial collections and something we produce called Undertone Hair Show, which is really amazing with Fashion and Hair Incorporated. And so we're around so many different creatives and mindsets and ideas. And so I feel that we get to bounce and learn from each other. You know, I think the biggest fault in our industry or a fault can be when you feel like you know everything or there's nothing else to learn or I'm the best at everything, because we kind of void ourselves of growing. So I think that when we go into these moments or these collections that we make, we're so open-minded to learning from the individuals around us and growing with each other that I get a lot of my inspiration from that, truly.
I would agree. I would totally say the exact same thing. I feel like I started this industry a little bit later in my life. So I felt like at the very beginning, I had a lot of catching up to do. And so I was always trying to find people that I liked what they were doing. And I wanted to build off them. I wanted to grow with them. I wanted to grow with them in a lot of ways. And so I was just doing all the education I could do. I was just doing all the collaborations I can do. I was teaching. I started teaching. I started going to a bunch of classes. We started bringing people in. I definitely find a lot of inspiration through others. And I feel like I'm constantly learning. And what's cool about this industry is I feel like the new people have just as much to bring in as the more senior people. I learn just as much through them sometimes, like the apprentices, the people that are in school. And I'm like, oh my God, I've never thought about that. Or a new TikTok trend that's created by some 16-year-old. You know, it's kind of wild what this industry has for everyone.
Yeah, I completely agree. The thing that really resonated with me with what you said is that if you get to the point where you consider that you're like, I know everything, nobody really has anything to teach me, that's where you get stagnant, that's where you get stuck, and that's where you get bored, frankly.
I feel like the trends are always changing and things are always happening and fads are always coming up. So if you're not growing, then you're falling behind almost.
Completely. I completely agree. And I think that's the case when it comes to trends and like technical skills. I think that's the case when it comes to technology in the salon.
Yes.
And that's a big part of why we created this podcast, because things are changing so quickly. Things are evolving so quickly. And you know, there's a lot of salons, that really great salons that have been around 30, 40 years. And if you don't keep up, you will fall behind. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for those salons that have been around for 30, 40 years, in the last 10, 15 years, there's been such a massive amount of change in the industry. If you go back to a salon, I guess 15 years ago was 2009. You know, if you went and talked to like a salon owner in 2009, they would be like, that's insane that all of these things are the case in the industry now, mm-hmm. or that you're using this kind of technology in the salon. So I think it's really incredible. But one thing that I definitely want to mention is that on the salon owner side, and salon owners are mostly who we speak to in this podcast, I think that there may be some kind of hesitation around having a creative team at the salon, because all they see would be, you know, like it's an expense, it's time, it's money, it's all of these things. So I wanted to get in like into what the benefits are of having a creative team in your salon.
I think the benefits of having a creative team in your salon is keeping your team motivated and excited for what's more. While we absolutely love being behind the chair, because I think a lot of us got into doing hair, right? So that we could do hair behind the chair. But sometimes, even like for me, I went into going behind the chair full time and I was like, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life, 40 years. And within 4 or 5 years, I was already wanting to find a change and do something else that I could. And I translated that into education, which I absolutely love. So having something maybe like a creative team at your salon can be another mode of inspiration or motivation for your team to do something more. It shows a creative element to the salon and to the people that they're excited to show the guests as well. At our salon, we had all of our editorials posted on the walls. So we take a lot of pride in that. You know, when I'm walking my guests to the shampoo bowl, I'm like, hey, I directed that, you know, or like, hey, what do you think of that? And I think that makes them excited too. They're like, oh my gosh, you guys did that. And they get to see our art in another way besides on themselves. So hopefully it keeps team morale going and excitement more than just the expense aspect of it. Of course, it's an expense, but you could get nominated for hairstyling awards. You could get recognized locally, you know, or just the admiration as a team, I think is enough, you know, or hopefully worth it for the expense.
I agree. And I think another big thing, if we're talking to salon owners, is these photo shoots are marketing. They're marketing tools. They're recruiting tools. They're things to bring people in. Because when we're talking to students in school and you're like, why did you get in this industry? It's not so I can work a 9 to 5, 40 hours a week behind a chair, you know, do the hustle and bustle. It's so I can do something creative. It's so if I can do something fun. It's so I can do something different. And that's what these photo shoots do. So if you're going to a recruiting whatever, and you're talking to someone, you said, I have an editorial team and the salon next to me does not. That's a good recruiting tool that a lot of salons aren't doing. And it's marketing. All of our photo shoots that we have done, they're on the walls, like Michael said. They're on the websites. They're on the Instagrams. And that's something that you could show off to just show people that you do cool stuff, as well as just more recruiting in that sense.
For sure. I think you touched on like the two biggest things. One of them being creating this kind of culture of excitement and creativity and innovation and trying new things in your salon. I think that having a creative team is just like a huge piece of that. And then stylist recruitment is the other really big one that I don't think I see talked about often enough. Basically, every single salon owner I've talked to in the last year always tells me that they're like, I need to recruit stylists. I need to recruit stylists. I just like can't get enough people. It's so incredible to be able to showcase, if you're on my team, you have the opportunity to do this. You have the opportunity to be a part of these shoots, to be a part of the planning, to be a part of the styling, to be a part of the whole process. You can enter into like hair shows, hair contests. There's so many opportunities, and it can absolutely help draw stylists to your salon over, you know, the salon that's one booth over, two booths over, or a couple streets over.
For sure.
Absolutely. And like you said, in the last 10, 15 years, the industry has changed so much. And things like photo shoots and creative teams were something very rare. And now it's not as rare. And so we're finding, like, Justin is a professional in education with Aveda. I'm an institute educator. So we're constantly around these individuals and that learning aspect. And I think more and more we hear them say, we want to do more than just behind the chair. We want to do a photo shoot. Yes. Or we want to do something like this. And so when we hear it so much more, it's almost a necessity for salons at sometimes to have things like these. And you can choose the avenue it goes in. You know, a creative team generally, maybe, obviously, it's creative work, but maybe a handful of them are really good at PR work. So things like podcasts and going to shows are something they would love, while a handful of them love more of the behind the scenes. So you can find a cohesive blend in your creative team to where it fits for that person. You don't have to individually feel like you have to do more or not be yourself to fit in. Just what you bring to the table is the most important.
Yeah, absolutely. Everybody has a different skill set that they're going to bring to the team, and all of those skill sets can be super valuable. That brings me to a great question. How do you select people to be on your creative team? So say you're an owner, you're like, I want to create this environment in my salon. I want to have a creative team. I want to give them a budget, empower them to do shoots. I empower them to do collections. And, you know, kind of the first step is who are going to be the people, the human resources that are going to be a part of that team. How would you recommend selecting that group of people?
I think when we started doing this, we just started like, hey, would anyone be interested in this? Just like planting that seed and hearing who was interested and hearing like, oh yeah, I've been wanting to do something like that. Or I saw this other salon do it and I was interested in it, and kind of just building it off of that and saying, okay, these are the people that were interested. And we also really always want to find people that are like-minded or like-driven.
Absolutely. And skill, in my mind, can be taught. Mm-hmm. You know, we can really practice and we can get better and better and learn from each other. But personality sometimes is one that can't be taught. And so finding, you know, people that, like Justin said, are like-minded to you and maybe have the same goals, but just really are motivated and driven. You know, I love when we create, or when we have an editorial and we have a new team member on, and they're very candid and say, listen, this is my first shoe. I haven't done a lot, but I just know I want to do more like this. So how can I be involved? You know, and I love that because they're being candid, they're being honest and just saying, we're here to have fun and make an exciting thing. And that's the thing you can't teach people, is that motivation and that excitement. So when we see someone kind of light up to the idea of it or express to us this is what they'd want to do, we really lay trust on that and then grow with each other in skill and understanding what we're comfortable with in that technical side. But you can't teach the excitement, you know, when people come. So if your team is like, I want to make a creative team, or I'd love to try to do something like this, like listen to them, you know, and really see what their ideas are. And perhaps it'll just be a match made in heaven for your salon or your team, or creating a good culture for sure.
Yeah, I think some of those key capabilities for people to be on a creative team, definitely, you know, they want to be there. They're excited to be there. They're energized about being there. And I think, too, they're open to learning and open to helping out where they need to help out. And also somebody who's going to say, hey, what can I do? How can I help? What do you need me for? Somebody who's able to fill in the gaps, do whatever is needed. I think those are all great key capabilities, but I definitely know of salons that do have like a certain seniority level you have to hit before being eligible for the creative team. So what do you think about having requirements like that for your creative team?
That's kind of hard. I'm a 50-50, you know, I understand like loyalty to a degree and, you know, and being able to get to know someone to make sure that that'll be a good fit for that creative team. But I feel that sometimes you may feel like you have to hit the check mark, if you will, to be able to do so. And it's not bad. It gives us something like a goal to look forward to, maybe short term. But what if someone randomly comes along and says, hey, I'll let you join my creative team now, or they find an opportunity that didn't push them back based on a timing requirement. So there's a lot of different factors into it, you know, but once I see someone, and there's a lot of time where, like you said, planting the seed and just seeing if someone's interested, they may express interest and you had no idea they would be someone like that. You know, perhaps their personality is kind of quiet and shy and timid. And they're like, I want to do a photo shoot. And you're like, really? Like, that's exciting. So I think it's really just planting the seed. So personally, for me, I may have not set a time commitment to it, but I do understand it, you know, and being able to have trust and capability in your creative team for sure.
Yeah, and I think there's a certain skill that like is good. You don't want a bunch of new people, but I feel like a lot of the times when we did our photo shoots, the people that were most passionate were the newest people there. So I would hate to be like, oh, no, you can't come. You don't have enough time under your belt or anything like that. I feel like that would just really deflate them. And when they did get to that point, they might not even be interested anymore. The newer people, they teach us a lot of things, but they bring a lot of passion as well. And I feel like we should fuel that instead of kind of extinguish it.
Yeah, I agree. And to your point, ideally, your creative team isn't all people who like are just fresh out of school, because you do definitely need the support on like the technical skill side as well. Like that is a very important capability to have. But I think that allowing newer members of your team to have at least be able to have some part in the creative team and the creative practices, whether that's like helping out with ideas and planning, and then maybe like just supporting the day of the shoot, maybe not necessarily the ones who are like styling the model. Maybe you have somebody who's a little bit more senior who's doing that. You can kind of find a balance based on like your salon and your culture, right?
Yeah, and open conversations, right? Like totally. We said, maybe someone's newer and they're like, hey, this is my first time and I want to get approach him. We can set something realistic that makes them feel good where they can still be involved. Give them a little leeway, but also make sure they're giving exactly what you need as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think the last thing I would love to share with our listeners is any best practices that you have for building a creative team, planning your first shoot, all of these important components, because if that's something that has never existed in your salon before, it can be pretty daunting because there's a lot of things to think about. There's a lot of aspects. So what are some best practices that you've learned over the last like several years of doing photo shoots?
My first best practice would be the prep aspect of it. It can be really hard and difficult to like all come together to come up with a concept or an idea, or even if one director is doing it, it can still be hard. We love to look at sources that are not hair related or beauty related when we're finding inspiration, because it can be easily copied by accident, not even intended. But when we just look at hair, we want to replicate it. So we'll find inspiration in people, places, things that are not beauty related. So we can kind of translate our inspiration into something else. So perhaps there's like a landscape of Mykonos. Maybe it's the feeling that we love in this photo. Maybe it's the color scheme. Maybe it's the texture of the brick. We want to try to recreate that in our collections. I think that makes a more organic idea and can help you kind of just center it a little bit more. For example, one of our last shoots, we had this really gorgeous blue and purple and green, like watercolor looking abstract painting. And we use those colors into our photo shoot, and each model kind of had a representation of that color. So really able to make it from scratch. And we use Pinterest boards, mood boards, printed pictures to really be able to see this is the hair we're creating, the makeup, the wardrobe. Because I think tangibly seeing it or touching it like a piece of paper can help instead of just seeing it on a foam. You know, sometimes it disconnects it for us in that human interaction. So our advice would be find sources that are not beauty related, really prep with mood boards, and then staying true to it. You know, like you can, of course, move back and forth. But if you try to do this concept and this concept and then this concept, it gets a little wild. You know, so it helps you stay centered as well.
I think those things are great to really keep you centered and focused and give you clarity.
I think the biggest one, and you said it a lot, but it's prep. Our most successful shoots are the ones we prep the most on, and almost go like backwards, like set the day that you want to do it and then be like, okay, by this day, we need this accomplished. By this day, we need this accomplished. By this day, we need this accomplished. So nothing falls behind.
Or like Qnity 9 grid. I'm going to bring Qnity back into this. Their 9 grid activity is fantastic. It's like the idea of like a word map. You put something in the middle and you map everything in bubbles on the outside. So if you put like your collection in the middle, you could source wardrobe, photography, models, time and date, budget, and you can like see it all on one paper. I love it for photo shoots. It's such a good organization tool. Shout out Qnity.
It's pretty good. It worked a lot for us.
Yeah.
And have fun. Yes. Two, last one. Have fun. That's the most important part, right? Enjoy it. Be in the moment. Love the creatives around you. Be receptive of all their ideas as they will to you. And I think our biggest thing too is to walk away from a collection or a show and just be like, we had so much fun, or I can't wait to do this again, or when is the next one? You know, like we're already anticipating for the next thing. And when people tell us that, that makes me, and I think him as well, feel so good, because we're like, we did what we meant to do, and now we have this strong team for the next one, and they're just as excited as we are, for sure.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. This was a really fun conversation, and I think we'll definitely give salon owners some good insight about, you know, the benefits of having a creative team and some great ways to get started. So thank you so much for joining us today, sharing your knowledge, and we really appreciate it. I hope you both have a great day.
Thank you guys so much. We find so much inspiration from Hair Blazers. You guys have such amazing conversations, and artists come on to share their inspiration with salon owners and stylists. And that's the kind of environment that we thrive in, and energy where people are building each other up. So when we were asked to come on here, we couldn't have said yes soon enough. So thank you also again for having us.
Thanks so much.
Yes, it is a great honor. Thank you.
Thanks so much to the both of you. Thank you for listening. Please leave us a review, share with your team, and make sure you tune in for the next episode. We appreciate you.